problems, through our good days, through our bad days, through our ups, through our downs, through life in its journey for the believer. Now, one of the things that I want to share with you is that Paul takes the Romans, if you will, to a new level in this eighth chapter. He's laid the groundwork, verse chapter 1 through 7. But when he gets to chapter 8, in verse 1, he begins to take them more on a spiritual journey and understanding that Christ and the Spirit of God works together in the believer. And so he says, there is, verse 1, therefore now no condemnation to them that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. He wants them to understand that all of the things of the flesh are fleshly, and the things of the Spirit are spiritual. And when we've learned how to repent and to release the problems of our past, and we press and look forward to our future, we no longer walk in those things that are carnal and fleshly, but our focus is on Christ, His cross, and our faith. And we begin to see how God deals with us on a spiritual plane that lifts us far beyond the flesh realm. And then we start learning how to elevate our praise, elevate our prayers, elevate our petitions beyond the flesh. You begin to understand that you have a spirit man on the inside of you that needs nurturing, that needs cultivating, that needs feeding, that needs fellowship. But listen, not just with you, but with the Holy Spirit. And so he brings all of this out to pass and bring this all up, making clear to us that we really don't understand the deeper things of Christ without the Spirit of Christ. Yeah, sometimes we don't understand that we can ask him for what we want in the flesh, but can we really ask him for what we need in the Spirit? And so because the flesh cannot communicate with the Spirit, the flesh cannot begin to articulate and interpret the needs of the spirit man underneath the skin. And therefore, you need the Holy Spirit to come in and fellowship and to be able to interpret and to bring understanding to the Spirit of God, to bring to Christ the deeper concerns of your spirit within the inner man of your existence. In other words, when he tells us that we don't know what we ought to pray as we ought to pray, it obviously has more to do with the spirit than the flesh, because in the flesh, we know what we need. We know what we want. We know what we desire from God in the flesh. But because we're talking about the spirit, the flesh does not have the ability to understand how the spirit operates, and only the spirit of the living God can fellowship and communicate with our spirit. And that's why when we pray in the spirit of the living God takes our prayers, interprets our prayer, and then he transports our prayer to Jesus and brings to Jesus not what we said in the spirit, but in the language of the spirit, which is the communication of heaven's language to Jesus. In other words, when we pray in the natural tongue, that's earthly praying. But when we pray in the Spirit, that's heavenly prayer. And the Holy Spirit takes our heavenly tongue and communicates it with Christ and shares with him the deeper needs underneath the skin. And he continues on through this text and brings us up to this word that we have in the 28th verse, which says, and we know, well, the verse word and suggests that it is a continuation, a connection with the verse that preceded that. And you keep running it on back up, you're going to keep running all the way on to the verse before and the verse before, etc. But let's look at what he says when he says, and we know. Let me ask a fundamental question. Who is the we? Who are the we? Who is he talking about? He's talking about born again believers in Christ Jesus who have the faith of Christ and believe in the finished works of his cross. Now keep in mind, this is a word after the resurrection. This is a word after Jesus has risen from the dead. This is a word after Calvary's cross and Sunday morning, Easter. This is a word for the believers to live now. Many times when we come to the Lord's Supper and we recite the scriptures that bring us into remembrance of what Jesus Christ did for us, when he did what he did at Calvary, that was not the finished works of Jesus Christ for the believer. That was the finished work for Christ of the believer. In other words, let me make it plain. When he gave everything he gave on the cross, that one time and one time only, it was so completely done that that process needed not be repeating again. And everything that he did that one time was done forever. So that means that what he did that one time on the cross for the believer, it was so that the believer from that time forward would have everything he or she needed in this life and in the life to come. The completed work of Christ. That's why there was no need to go back and do this again. And so when he talks about, and we know, he's talking about those who experientially have relationship, have fellowship, and experiences with understanding the word, the will, and the way of God. Now, here he moves into this next portion of the text that we want to look at. He says, and we know what? That all things work together. Now let's just pause right there. We know that. That is a point of knowledge that he's emphasizing for the people of God. This is a knowledge that every true believer ought to have a personal experience with. Has there ever been a situation in your life, a time in your life, where you could not figure out how it was going to work out, but you put your faith in Christ and you lifted your face up to the sky and said, Lord, you are my helper. My help comes from thee. I know, God, I can't fix it. I can't figure it out. But I know you can and you will. And somehow, before the thing was all over with, he stepped in right on time and worked it out for you. If you've had that experience, you're part of the we know crowd. I wish I had a witness. If you just had one experience, you're a part of the we know crowd. And many of us who've been with the Lord any time have multiple experiences. Matter of fact, that happened daily. It's not just every now and then. Every day God keeps making a way, keeps doing miraculous things, keep holding you, keep keeping you, keep defending you, keep watching over you, keep protecting you, keep lifting you, keep I wish I had a helper in the house. They might not have started off good, but it ended up great because of the Lord. That were things the enemy forecasted for that day against you. And the Lord turned it around. You are a part of that we know crowd. But here's what I want to tell the people of God. First thing is you need to trust the process. Point one, tell somebody trust the process. This perhaps may be the hardest part of this scripture for the believer, to trust the process. The word says, we know that all things work together. If you know this, which means you have an intimate, personal, experiential knowledge of how God works, how he operates, what his processes are, you begin to recognize, wait a minute, the situation might be different, but the process is the same. Satan might have different tricks, but the Lord and his word is the same. And we need to know that all things leaves out nothing. All things for the believer, those who are part of the we know crowd, have the confidence in knowing that whatever comes your way had to come his way first. Listen to me well. And if it got to you, it's because God permitted it to. And if God permitted it to, holding his word as his bond, he would not allow more to be put on you than you can bear. So while the devil makes it appear as though it's too hard for you to bear, let me serve notice today, the devil is a liar and a deceiver too. God would not permit him to put more on you than God has equipped you to bear. That's the word of God. The first essence of this in the way that we know it in the Holy Writ, Job makes this example clear to us. And it was because Job loved God, and that's the next part of our text. He loved him so much, he served him with gladness. And I want to throw this out parenthetically. When you love God, do you know you serve him with gladness? You don't come serving him like it's a burden and a bother and, Lord, here we go again. You know, it's just a drag on your spirit to serve the Lord. You wake up in the morning with your mind stayed on Jesus. And because your mind is stayed on him, he says, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him, because he trusteth in him. And because he trusteth in him, listen at this, he knows that all things work together. Now, look at this word work, because to really understand this word, let me help you understand it in its true context. It literally means a project given to work with a pre-programmed ending. Somebody didn't get that. Work, every time work goes to work on your behalf, it knows that it's got only one option. to work it out for good.